going to start at 11:45.
11:45? Okay, we'll start in trailer in just a minute or two.
Good afternoon. We'll go ahead and get started here for sake of time. We'll start with hymn number 348 in your old hymnals, Redeemed. Okay.
Child and forever I am. Thank you for your flexibility to accommodate our schedule. This life change starts at 2 o'clock. We want to afford plenty of time for that and other needs that people have, and yet still not slight the Word of God. So we want to go into this continuing insights going through the Scriptures. And today we find ourselves in 1 Corinthians. You're familiar with Corinth being a sailor town, sort of like San Francisco might be today, with all the sort of immorality and worldliness that might occur, but a great church got started there. But it's a young and troubled church with lots of conflicts, but those are used of the Lord to address one issue after another. Now, 2,000 years later, we get the benefits and blessings from. All kinds of insights, many great scriptures. I'm sure you'll see that many of these are texts that you've laid up in your heart. I just want to share a few thoughts about them. Let's have a word of prayer, please, and then we'll begin. Our Heavenly Father, bless Thy Word. Bless the souls as we receive it. Open our hearts and our eyes to understand and love more the things of God. In Christ's name, amen. Number one, we're in 1 Corinthians 1:18. When we read that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that true? And the positive side there, the power of God. Just preach the cross, just trust in the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, bringing people to salvation. And the flip side of that, a comment that in my study Bible, I found was this. Have you looked at this side? Those who regard Christianity as foolishness, those who reject and perhaps even ridicule God's word, thereby prove to others they are perishing in sin and on their way to hell. That's the crowd to whom preaching the cross is foolishness, those who perish. Number two, 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Well, thankful that he calls people who aren't mighty, noble, wise. But he's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, right? The instruction is note the weakness of the instrumentality which the Lord employs to convert the world. Not the wise, not the mighty, not many, no, not many of them. Note the weakness of the instrumentality. We're just aware enough of our weakness, we're willing to yield our vessels over to God and let Him use what there is, and all glory goes to Him. In my study Bible was this comment, the whole history of the expansion of the church is a progressive victory of the ignorant over the learned, the lowly over the lofty, until the emperor himself laid down his crown before the cross of Christ. First Corinthians 2:9, but as is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Curious thing is, if you go back and find that scripture that's being quoted in the Old Testament, he's quoting Isaiah 64:4. The text actually says, for them that waiteth for him, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for them that wait for him. Paul quotes it, but he changes the verb from wait to love, indicating the two are linked. Paul interprets waiting on God as loving him. Number four. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the great contrast here is, on one side you have man governed by the divine Spirit of God. Over here you have man from whom that Spirit is absent. what different conditions those are. That's the great contrast among human beings. Those in whom the very Spirit of God dwells and those and governs, and those in whom the Spirit is not. Some weeks back, I did a study for a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights where we listed the ways of those who do not have the Spirit of God in them. They're called, in the King James, they're called brutish. And the idea is ways that human beings, with all their great potential, with all their lofty faculties and the Spirit of God accessible to them, can find themselves resisting God and degenerating into a level like unto animals. And here are nine ways where that word brute is found and applies to different behaviors. One is to be controlled by instinct. Jude 1:10, like brute beasts, just doing what feels good. Like a dog could do that, a cow could do that, cat could do that. So we can be controlled by self-preservation and hunger and sexual impulses, same sorts of things, no higher than an animal. That's one way we can be brutish. A second one is to be blind to the greatness of God's works. Psalm 92. The psalmist says, I was as a brute before you. I didn't acknowledge and see the glory. You know, I was looking at this flower arrangement that we have here, and just that sunflower alone debates, refutes evolution. I mean, how, and it's so glorious, and it's so wonderful. But the eye of the world is blind to the greatness of God's works. You can have barn swallows making their nests in the most beautiful piece of architecture. It means nothing to them. And so the glory that's all about us can mean nothing to people. Well, animals can ignore it, but we've been given a higher faculty. The third way we can be brutish is to be ignorant of God's all-seeing eye. In Psalm 94, the psalmist speaks of how a person can just do whatever he wants to do, utterly not cognizant that there's a holy God recording every thought, every word, every imagination, every behavior. A fourth way we can be brutish is that we can be unlearned in knowledge of the holy. Proverbs chapter 30. Unlearned in knowledge of the holy. Or we can lack the fear of God. You know, we went to a church in Lead on Sunday when we were in the Black Hills. I thought Gordon Phillips did a great job in preaching. He's speaking in the book of Romans. And he mentioned that in speaking with people who are inclined towards unnatural affections, that they say, look, we did not choose this. Who would choose to be this way? And he said that the answer that he gave, and I thought it was really a wise answer, that could be you did not choose that behavior, but you did choose not the fear of God. Romans 1 speaks about those who did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so God gave them over, and then he gave them over, and he gave them up into vile affections. And so they may not have chosen the vile affections, but they follow it back, did not choose the fear of the Lord. Beasts do not seek God, so can be the way of people. Beasts can hate reproof, so people, wise men, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you, the Bible says. A beast can rebel against authority, 2 Peter chapter 2. Beasts can be unaware of the fellowship of God. I think Psalm 73 is where the psalmist is saying, I almost slipped. I looked at the world and they prosper. They all do so well and they're all happy. They aren't visited with troubles. And I thought, why can't I experience that? Then he said, I went into the temple or the tabernacle of the Lord. And I thought on these things. And then I repented. I was as a beast before thee, because I was not taking into account the fact there is a living God with whom I can have fellowship. And that's better than anything that this world offers. Number five, What is required of us? What is required of you and me is that as stewards, we be found faithful. Not necessarily successful, but it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Over what are we to be good stewards? I'll give you two answers today. You and I are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. That is our calling, to be stewards of the mysteries of God. A mystery of God is a divine truth which only heaven knows and those on earth to whom God chooses to reveal it. And the second area of stewardship is of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. We are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But let's take that mysteries of God. Over what are you and I to be good stewards in the far as mysteries go? And one of the lists that I've provided in the past, I don't give the scriptures here for the sake of space. One of the mysteries is this, Jesus Christ living inside of us. I remember one time in witnessing to somebody, I told somebody that Christ was in me, and he looked at me and he said, Jesus is in you? And I don't think I really gave that comment much thought before as far as how shocking and strange that might sound to somebody and how wonderful it is. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. That's a mystery. Second mystery, I think that probably be Romans chapter 9, Israel's blindness during the church age. There are individual Jews who come to Christ, but as a nation, they are by and large very resistant to the gospel. It's a mystery. It's the oddest thing, Israel's blindness, as the Lord builds his church. Now when the church is taken out, then Israel's going to come back center stage. There's going to be 144,000 of these Jews come to a sincere faith in Christ. It's going to be a remarkable, remarkable time. Another mystery we're told is of the church composed of Jew and Gentile. At the time that was explained, that was so much a mystery because Jews were so apart from Gentiles and Gentiles from Jews. Another, the church, this is a mystery, that we are the bride of Christ. Yes, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a feast. And there's going to be a great wedding. We constitute the bride of Christ. By the way, sometimes in the scriptures, all the church is referred to as sons. Sometimes the pronoun may be neutral and it's translated male in some version. But sometimes all people, male or female, are referred to as sons. Now, I think don't monkey with the scriptures if that's the word of God. Take it for what exactly it is, because there's a difference between a son's relationship to his father and a daughter's relationship to her father. And there's some way that women have that same relationship to God as does a son to the father, as far as planning and protecting and providing for and that kind of thing. I say that on one side because the other side is this. There are also scripture where all Christians are referred to in the feminine analogy. And this is one of them. All men, all women are together constitute the bride of Christ. More on that another time. Another mystery, the translation of the saints at the end of the age. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And we say two things that are sure are death and taxes. Well, as Christians, we say, well, I better reduce that just to taxes. By the way, I didn't mention this morning, but maybe you saw, I read it just this week, a large increase of food stamp money is now going to be sent out to the country. The food stamp stipend has been increased by 25%. 25%. We're sending out somewhere around $300 per child per month for some length of time to families. And I guess we just got a bunch of more money to send out, so let's just raise the... You know how many people receive food stamps in America? According to the article that I read, let's see if I can get this back on. 42 million. So when you take 42 million people and increase all their stipends by 25%, who knows how many billions that is, but what is that to to us here in America? We're so rich. We have all this extra money to pass out. Okay, I got to keep going. Restoration of God likeness to man. That is a mystery. That we are going to be transformed with the earthy. We take on the view of the earthy. Then we will be take on the image of the heavenly. We shall see Christ and we shall be like him. That is a mystery that the world does not know, but we do. The book of Revelation talks about the mystery of iniquity, which already is at work. The mystery of the seven stars, beginning of Revelation. Mystery, religion, mystery, Babylon. All of this, you and I are called to be stewards of. There's a way we are to watch over that, guard it, and profess it, and live it. Number six, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will manifest, that means to draw back the curtains, the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So what is going to be brought to light when the Lord comes? Secret arts, private methods, unknown intentions, aims, ends, designs, purposes, values, contemplations, buried springs, principles, and passions. Then would all be manifested, the hidden counsels of the hearts. Number seven, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? No room for boasting whatever we've been given because we've been given it. And if we do well financially, ultimately the Lord receives credit for it. And so is the echo in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Reminder, a very well-known verse, very well-known truth. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? A Christian's body belongs to God. Now that has implications, doesn't it? We must realize the implications for gluttony, drunkenness, smoking, adultery, abortion, and on the list goes. 1 Corinthians 9:22, a very abused verse from this letter. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is not justification for worldly compromise. This verse is often used to that end. I got involved in this activity that I could save other people who are involved in that activity. That's never a justification for sin, like becoming a drunkard to win drunks, or to become this to win those. Paul's longing to gain people for Christ constrained him to walk a mile in their shoes, to learn how to approach all types of people in terms of their backgrounds and concerns. One night I was preaching at the gospel mission, and I gave a ride home across town to a native, and he said something to me, you just have no idea what it's like for me to be in your world. He was bitter, and I hadn't said it. Well, he asked me for money, and I didn't give it to him. And that's what he said in response. But what Paul is saying here is, have an idea what it's like to be an unwed mother, to be a person dying of cancer, to be a person who's never had any money or who is ugly or who is pretty or what. Do all that you can to empathize. So Paul says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men. Have you studied people and done your best to empathize with them and understand where they're coming from and then give them how Christ is the answer and how the scriptures address whatever the problem might be? Number 10. Finally. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The overarching admonition is, don't think your trial is unique and that therefore failure is justifiable. I had a dinner with my brothers and sisters up, and we met up in Madison. Most of my family was able to come. And I was talking about being kind of dizzy headed recently. I said, when we went out to the hills, I left my credit card somewhere. And we went back to the restaurant, couldn't find it. And so we had to cancel that card and order a different card. And this brother, that sister, this brother, they all had the same story. I did this last week. I did that. Anybody here ever left a credit card at a restaurant? No. I got one back there. But our situations aren't unique. Our trials are not unique. We can't say, well, no one's gone through, seen the trouble that I've seen, and I'm justified in failing. No, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a great memory verse. If you haven't, do memorize it, please. And know there hath no temptation taken, no trial, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it and not sin. So, in sum, Christianity is deemed foolish by the perishing. It's good to know how, whom, and why God calls. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So God's chosen the weak to confound the strong, the foolish to confound the wise, and so on. People who love God wait for God. People are either spirit-ruled or spirit-absent. We are stewards of God's mysteries and grace. In the judgment, hidden things will be revealed. Glory goes to God, not to us, for our gifts. Our bodies belong to God. Do not become the world to win the world. God always provided and will provide escape. That's probably enough truth for today. Let's pray. Our Father, we are to present ourselves to Thee as those alive from the dead. We are to yield unto Thee our bodies, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We are to have our minds transformed, even as our very appearance one day will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. We have been given the opportunity to fellowship with the living God. We have a calling. We have an equipper who gives everything necessary for victory to be ours. Oh, that Thou would lead us this week to a higher plane Incline our hearts to the Word of God, to meditate upon it day and night. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Direct our paths. Keep us from the evil one. Give us grace to manifest the love of God. And as this life chain is carried out by many folks, we pray for physical and heart protection and testimony. And there will be those whose hearts will be turned to the Lord. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
For our closing hymn, we'll sing 356 in your old hymnals, "He Lifted Me."
Please.